Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 410, 72 degrees. We do have these storms moving through our area. Scranton is still having his issues. The Scranton Police Department has asked people, please don't drive on the roads unless absolutely necessary this afternoon. They are checking all roads to make sure they're passable. They are blocking roads. I'm hearing on Penn Avenue and Olive Street, there's a waterfall going on. So if you don't need to be out, it's a good time not to be out. Got a text message in, Rob. If you didn't decide on a vacation spot yet, I heard a lot about Marco Island, Florida. People say it feels like you're in the Caribbean and no passport required. I appreciate that. I have heard of Marco Island, Florida. Don't think I've been there. But we did book our vacation for our 30th anniversary, which is the end of October. We will be going to Key West. So we'll be headed down to Florida, to Key West, our southernmost point, to check it out the end of October, beginning of November. Not only will we be down there for both our anniversaries, I'll let you in on that in a little bit, but we will be down there for Halloween as well. And I heard Key West and Halloween is something to see, so we'll check it out. So I'm looking forward to it. And why is there two anniversaries? Well, when we got married, we lived in New York still. We got married in 1995. So we got married at City Hall in New York City, and then 2 days later, we got married here in Moscow, Pennsylvania, at St. Catherine's Church, and our church wedding was here in Pennsylvania. We had our reception at the old inn at the Abingtons here in our area. So see, all the way back into the 90s, I was still a part of northeastern Pennsylvania. So we've decided to celebrate our anniversary on the church date. That's what the one we recognize. But depending on which one my wife forgets is the one she'll decide to celebrate, because you'd be surprised. She's forgotten it more than I have. So it goes about saying something if you go with the cliches out there of the man always forgetting. It doesn't happen. So Trump warns of severe consequences if Putin does not agree to stop the war after the summit. And today, there's been meetings with the European leaders and President Zelensky. Here's my question looking at this whole thing. And I think this meeting's a good thing. I think any face-to-face meeting with world leaders, especially one being at war, in ways to find peace is good. I think the president of the United States and Russia seeing each other face to face, discussing, looking at each other when they talk is good. I think, you know, meetings with China, the president of China and all world leaders, if we agree or not, is a good thing. I think that personal interaction is key when it comes to diplomatic relations. And that goes for all the underlings as well. My question looking at this, though, is why haven't the European leaders taken the lead on this? I mean, this is their backyard. Some of their nations are the ones worried about Russia's aggression, more so than we should ever be. Why aren't they? They wait till there's a meeting already set up with the president and the leader of Russia in Alaska, and all of a sudden, well, we need our voices heard. Well, why weren't you leading the charge to begin with? The European Union and the Europe partners. That's my take on this. Because, you know, Trump consulted with European leaders who said the president assured them that he would make a priority of trying to achieve a ceasefire in Ukraine when he meets with Putin on Friday. Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky joined several of Kyiv's main allies in the virtual meeting with U.S. leaders. Zelensky told the group that Putin is bluffing ahead of the planned summit about Russia's ability to occupy all of Ukraine and shake off sanctions. German Chancellor said afterward that important decisions could be made in Alaska, but he stressed that the fundamental European and Ukrainian security interests must be protected. Well, then I asked the German Chancellor, Friedrich Merz, why aren't you leading the charge then? Why aren't you setting a meeting in Germany up with the leader of Russia to sit down with him and say the same thing that you're telling Donald Trump to say? Where is the European Union as a whole saying, hey, we'd like to sit down and work this out because it is our backyard? But they wait till the movement's already being made. They wait till it's already a done deal and it's already happening. And then from the cheap seats, they want to throw their ideas into the mix. And again, if you have the most to lose here, if this is in your backyard, why aren't you the one leading the charge? Why aren't you spearheading peace in your own neighborhood? But rather sit back and say, well, he's bluffing. This is going to be a nothing burger anyway. Well, okay, then why didn't you do it? Why didn't you set something up and try and lead the European Union for peace in your own continent? That's the big question. Now, I also think Zelensky has unreasonable terms here. You know, you're not going to get all your territory back. Crimea does not want to be part of Ukraine. That is never coming back. And some other areas, you'll need to be open for discussion. Is it worth the continued destruction of your young men and women to move forward to something that you're not going to win? It's going to be, at best, a draw where they stand and moving back to their own corners until somewhere down the road there's another act of aggression somewhere. Somebody does something over the wrong line. Now, I also agree that what Putin wants, a whole stretch of power locations, is also not doable. But is there that exit ramp for someone like a Vladimir Putin? But again, I'm critical of the European Union here, especially people like this German Chancellor, Friedrich Merz, who wants to throw in there after the Zoom meeting. Right? So you mean to tell me you guys couldn't all got together? You know, if it was that important, don't you think all the European leaders should have come here to meet with Trump before he goes to Alaska? You know, I would say if the meeting was on the way to them, Trump should go to them. But the fact that it's in Alaska, he's going in the other direction. If this was that important to you, then European leaders, or at least a group of you or the primary members, should have come here and sat down face to face with the president and said, here's our concerns. Not a Zoom meeting. How lack of interest is it to do a Zoom meeting with our leaders to say, well, we don't believe anything's going to come out of this. But and the President Trump himself has said, he'll be able to tell in a few minutes if something's going to come out of this. And I hope if he sees that or senses that, he says, listen, you're not here seriously, we're done. Because I think that sends a clear and concise message to someone like a Vladimir Putin. Get on Air Force One, see you later. Continue killing your people, it's on you. And he should say that to the press when he walks out and before he gets on Air Force One. But for the European Union and these nation leaders who have taken a backseat to this entire thing when it should be them spearheading everything to do with this, it shows a disinterest of anything peace-related, anything to calm the region in this area. And has it gone on so long now to where loss of interest is a bad word? When people are dying, when young men and women are dying, which there are, when missiles are being sent and drones are being flown into buildings, killing people, it's not a lack of interest. But at what point does the world say, we're just tired of this and stop it, or it needs to go away? This cannot go on indefinitely. And Zelensky needs to realize that as well, because sooner or later, at what point does it become, all right, you know, we're not gaining or losing anything at this point, except lives. And that's the way it's been for a while. Russia takes ground, then they lose ground. Ukraine takes ground, and then they lose ground. The only consistent here are young men and women are dying in both nations. So where's the end game? And I think that's where it needs to be found. But for the European Union to take a backseat to this entire process and then throw demands out like they really care about something, stop it. It's your backyard. It's your region. Why didn't you plan a meeting? if you think this meeting is going to be fruitless and not have any substantial substance to it when it's over, okay, well, if I was the German chancellor, I'd be planning a meeting with Putin right now in 2 weeks and say, we don't expect any real outcome out of your meeting with the president of the United States, so I'd like to plan a meeting. And we need to sit down and discuss the future of our continent. But you don't see that, right? You never see that leadership there. And it's their backyard. They're the ones who are afraid or say they're afraid of Russia's aggression. Listen, outside of all-out nuclear war, Russia has proven itself to be impotent as far as a conventional army. So we'll see where it goes. I think any face-to-face meeting is good, if it becomes fruitful or not. Great for the world if it does. No big loss if it doesn't, except for some jet fuel. It's 4:21 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 4:26, 72 degrees outside. Again, if you don't need to be out on the roads, it's a good time not to be out on the roads. An ex-WNBA star, Sophie Bruner's mom, was killed in a head-on crash with an illegal immigrant with a history of drunk driving. That's the part here that gets me, and it's going to aggravate you too. Darcy Connolly Bruner, 61, was struck when Ronaldo Ico Chuck, a 30-year-old Guatemalan national, crossed over into the wrong lane in Freeport on Saturday afternoon, Stevenson County Sheriff's Office said. The migrant, who had a hefty rap sheet, including multiple prior DUIs, was also killed in the wreck, according to officials. Really, probably the only shining light in this story. He won't be able to harm anyone else. Multiple DUI arrests. Authorities are now probing whether he was under the influence at the time of this double fatality. I would say probably was. Multiple prior DUIs arrests, crosses onto oncoming traffic. Yeah. They already said there's no indication that Connolly Bruner, a married mom of four, was at fault whatsoever. Came to the U.S. illegally when he swam across the Rio Grande River in July of 2021, a source told reporters. He was released into the U.S. by border agents after being given a future court date of September 2026, the sources add. Now, here's something you need to understand. There is a large portion of America, Democrats, who consider this person here temporarily legal, who can apply for things, and not one of those they considered, illegal. Well, no, he's here legally. He was caught and released by Border Patrol and given a court date. He's on a temporary parolee list. That's not being here legally. He swam across the Rio Grande River in July of 2021. He was released into the U.S. Border Patrol agents by Border Patrol agents after being given a future court date of September 2026, 5 years, over 5 years in the future. But some will call him here legally because he had a court date, right? He was a parolee. In the wake of the tragedy, Senator Andrew Chesney confirmed that he had been on Homeland Security's radar. A woman who dedicated her life to her family and her community was killed in broad daylight by a man who never should have been in this country or on our roads, the senator said in a statement. His criminal record includes prior charges for DUI, aggravated felony DUI, battery. Additionally, it was confirmed by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security that he was in this country illegally, having crossed the border a few years ago during the Biden administration. Run-ins with authorities date back to at least March of 2022, when he was arrested on DUI charges, as well as driving without a valid license. He pled guilty to the misdemeanor DUI and was ordered to remain under court supervision for 2 years. He was arrested again in DUI February of 2023 when he was still banned from driving. He pled guilty again and was slapped with a court supervision order as well as a brief stint in jail and then released back into America. He was arrested for domestic battery in June of 2023. He was sentenced to 6 days in prison. ICE was never notified, but he had that court date in 2026 for his crossing into the country illegally. Doesn't matter, he was arrested multiple times. That didn't affect anything. But again, the thing here, outside of the tragic loss of life, is there's a large portion on the left that would consider this person here legally because he had a court date. Crossed here illegally, was here illegally, broke multiple laws, some time in jail, but he had that immigration court date in 2026. Nope, he's here legally. He's on temporary parole. Until that hearing, due process, remember? Well, where's the due process from the prior arrest that he had? Where's the due process of him coming in illegally and being let go into the country for years? Just another tragic story. One tragic story that repeats itself time and time again. Didn't have to happen. Multiple chances to prevent this from happening. Missed them all. It's 4:32 here at WILK. Time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's the point of the show where we honor our heroes here at home in law enforcement who made the ultimate sacrifice on this day, August through 13th, throughout history. Today we have two. Officer Eugene J. Chick Lucas, Coxsackie Borough Police Department in Pennsylvania, on this day in 1917. He was shot and killed when he and another officer attempted to arrest the suspect wanted for beating his wife. He and another officer went to the man's apartment in the Centron building on the corner of Elm Street and Fayette Street. To serve the warrant, the man opened fire on Officer Lucas, shooting him three times. The man fled the scene, but was arrested by a posse. He was convicted of Officer Lucas's murder and sentenced to 17 years in prison. He escaped from the Montgomery County Prison on December 13, 1925. Doesn't say anything about after that. Next, we have Police Officer James A. McCarl, Houston Borough Police Department in Pennsylvania, 1916. He died after being kicked in the stomach while placing a prisoner in a jail cell at the borough's police department. He had just arrested the subject for being drunk and disorderly after being called to the man's home. Officer McCarl was unlocking the cell door when the man kicked him in the stomach, rupturing his bowels. The man then escaped but was captured by angry citizens a short time later. Doctors tended to Officer McCall's injuries, but he died approximately 2 hours later. Suspect was charged with murder. At his trial, two doctors testified Officer McCall died of shock due to internal injuries. The defense argued Officer McCall died from heart trouble due to overexertion from dealing with the prisoner. He was acquitted. That was, again, on this day in 1916. And those are our two today. And, you know, let's just remember our first responders who are out there today at a moment's notice. I don't think anyone expected the showers to be, you know, 3.5 inches of rain in a short amount of time just in our area. It says Hazleton got similar flooding down by the Lehigh Tunnel on the turnpike. But they were out there. Doing what they could, asking now for people not to be driving on the roads so they can ensure safety, see what kind of damage is done from this heavy rain, you know, upheaval and crackings of the roads and storm drains and such like that. And again, you know, when you're out and about on your property, if you see a storm drain that needs a little TLC, if you can just grab your hard rake and do it yourself to make sure it's clear. If not, you know, call your public works, have them pull the drain and clean it out so it does drain properly. And this may be a wake-up call for some areas to check their storm drain systems to make sure they are clear of debris, to make sure they are working properly, because improper maintenance could cost you a whole lot of money in repairing things that didn't need to be repaired to begin with if you maintain things properly. Texter said, bring back angry posses. Yes and no. I hear what you're saying, but would probably not a good thing in a lot of cases. But in certain circumstances, could be warranted. It's 4:40 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show. It's time for Today in History, because how do we know where we're going unless we remember where we've been? I could crush a stack of pancakes right now. I really could. Huh. I wonder where that came from. Just ever have a craving for pancakes? Nice chocolate chip pancakes. Little fresh maple syrup on it. Yep. Nice cup of coffee. Big tall glass of orange juice. Yeah, for some reason. All of a sudden. So what do we have on this day, August 13th, on this day? Let me see. Big Mama Thornton. Anybody know who she is? Jake, do you know who Big Mama Thornton was? Oh, Jake knows. I knew he would know. Well, she records Hound Dog, 1952, the iconic rhythm and blues singer Willie Mae. Big Mama Thornton first recorded the song Hound Dog on this day, 4 years before Elvis Presley's version skyrocketed in popularity. Now, how did you know Big Mama Thornton, Jake? You're just a
big time Elvis fan.
There you go. So, Opal Mae Johnson became the first woman to enlist in the U.S. Marine Corps, 1918. A pivotal moment for women in the military. She paved the way for future generations. Future generations that my daughter is following in that footsteps. I found out last week that she had to survive on stream water for the week out in the field. So that's a interesting little ditty. So I also saw, and I posted yesterday, female enlistment in all military service branches has surged significantly for fiscal year 2025. Compared to last year, numbers are up 7,260 for female enlistment in the military. Last year, female recruits were at 16,725. Now the Pentagon data shows they're at 23,985. I guess there goes the Pete Hegseth, Trump administration hates women and doesn't want them to serve in the military thing, because they are recruiting and they are enlisting in record numbers. So up 7,260 from last year. And believe me, I've heard firsthand, the single standard is not fun. The single standard is difficult, but they're loving every minute of the single standard, because it's pushing them to levels that they never thought possible. And that's from firsthand feedback. So keep going getting them. Keep getting them. What else do we have? William Gray receives the patent for the first coin-operated telephone, 1889. Important technical and social innovation in communications. First victim of the Memphis yellow fever epidemic dies in 1878. Kate Bionda passed away, ushering in a deadly outbreak that devastated the city. Reagan signs the Economy Recovery Act in 1981. Major legislative moves embraced supply-side economics, shaping fiscal policy at the Reagan era. And Fast Times at Ridgemont High premieres 1982, a cultural staple of teen comedy, began its run in the U.S. theaters on this day. Some cultural and sports. The death of Mickey Mantle, 1995 on this day. Legendary New York Yankee slugger passed away from liver cancer at 1963. Apollo 11 ticker tape parade, 1969. New York City celebrated Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins with a grand parade following their historic moon landing. Go back in time. The fall of the Aztec Empire, 1521. Spanish conquistador Hernan Cortes captured Tenochtitlan, ending the Aztec Empire. And Bob Wire Sunday, East Germany seals Berlin's border, 1961. This move marked the beginning of the Berlin Wall, dividing the city for decades. Some notable birthdays: Alfred Hitchcock, 1899, legendary film director and master of suspense. Fidel Castro, 1926, revolutionary and longtime leader of Cuba. Communist, we can add in there. Janet Yellen, economist, first female Fed chair and Treasury secretary. And Sebastian Stan, 43 as of 2025, actor known for notable film and TV roles. I don't even know who that is, Sebastian Stan. Do you know who that is, Jake? No, neither. Well, there you go with our Today in History. Let me go to the phone. We have Bob from Dunmore on today's rain. Bob.
Yeah, what do you call it? You know, with the rain, the sub being so hard and so heavy, it made the potholes a lot bigger. And I was wondering, do you have a number for the potholes or no?
For Dunmore?
For the whole area.
Well, each municipality takes care, so you would want to call the Dunmore Borough Building.
Okay, well, yeah, but they don't answer. They put you on a machine.
Well, leave a message. Tell them exactly where the potholes are.
Okay, Rob, I'm sorry.
All right.
All right.
Well, Dunmore Borough Center there, Bob. Other than that, I was looking up the number. But, yeah, you could do it right on their website, it looks like, here. Let me see. Police Department, Community Center, Rent Reservation, all departments, Department of Public Works. Let's see. Contact. Well, if he's still listening, the Borough of Dunmore's number is 570-343-7611. So if you have new potholes that you think are an issue, call them up, leave a message, and I would send them an email too. This way you have documentation. And our good friend Keith Figured, the attorney, tells us, always have documentation. Right, Jake? That's it. Jake's documenting everything right now. I go in there. He's got a whole list. Rob's a jerk. Rob's a jerk. No, he doesn't. He's got a lot of lists in there, but I'm not on them. His car's been on it. It's been a big list at times. We have to shred it when we're done at the end of the day. It's his therapy, so he doesn't smash the Nanacoke-purchased flea market computers that are in there that were provided to get through the day to give you the best in news and talk radio here on WILK. Yeah. It's 5:54. See, I'm already trying to get out of here. It's 4:53 here at WILK. We'll be back. That's why I love Jake. I don't even have to tell him. He just knows. He just knows based on the stories and the schedule I give him of what we're going to talk about. He just throws it in there. That's why I leave the music all to him. I don't even have to get involved in that. That's the way it should be. So Chubby Checker reveals he's skipping his own Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony, saying we're not coming. You know what he's going to be doing? I'm going to be performing for my fans where I belong. Yep, that's right. The rock and roll legend Chubby Checker is skipping his Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony in favor of playing in front of his fans after waiting over three decades to join the exclusive music club. First of all, does everybody agree, Jake? I'm sure he should have been in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame long before now.
Took the words right out of my mouth, Rob.
How this took so long is well beyond me. He's 83 years old. And he revealed at a recent show that he will not attend the honors in Los Angeles on November 8th because he will be rocking out on stage at a different gig. The rock icon constructed the schedule conflicting purposely to skip the induction. When I told my manager, I said, make sure when we go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the induction, that I will be doing what I love doing the most. Being in front of an audience, a live audience, not a television audience, the music icon told a crowd of fans according to a video posted on his social media July 29th. Checker, best known, again, for the 1960 chart-topping The Twist, has been eligible since its inaugural class in 1985. So they have passed over him since 1985. The Grammy Award winner had yet to be nominated until this year. How is that possible? Anticipating his selection, Checker said his manager booked him for a gig that same night before the Hall of Fame reached out to him, telling him the big news that he actually won. On April 27th, Checker was among 13 musicians selected as part of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class of 2025. Impressive class of Bad Company, Joe Cocker, Cyndi Lauper, Outkast, Soundgarden, The White Stripes. The Twist Again singer recalled the phone call with the Hall of Fame staff when his team turned down the offer to fly out to the ceremony at the Peacock Theater in Los Angeles. "We're not coming. We have a gig." Good for you. I support this message 100%. Absolutely. Checker, born Ernest Evans, shared the importance of missing the ceremony to show he was still healthy and not a frail old man. "Getting back to being an older person," Checker explained to the crowd. "Chubby goes to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and they say, he's an old guy. He's probably retired. Nope, I'm too busy doing another gig," he told them. There you go. This is just such a wrong that has been righted, thankfully. And respectfully, he's got another gig to play. So good for you. Good for you, Chubby Checkers. It's coming up on 5 o'clock here on WILK News Radio. We'll see you after the hour.